Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
So today you've come to church and you might have had a challenging week at work, and the world is seemingly in meltdown, and the preacher starts talking about steak versus vegetables and salt. You may think, especially if it's St. Nick's, that you've walked into the wrong meeting and find yourself in Slimming World with its eat vegetables green plan or eat meat red plan. But no, today's sermon in the series of Romans uses some of these hot topics of that time to explore how we can easily weaken our church community, or how we can beware to avoid weakening it. Romans is dealing with division. The people are focusing on things that don't really matter, you see. As a newcomer to Bedhampton, I've seen very little of this here, but as it can happen so easily, it's still worth minding the gap between the train, our wonderful community, and the platform edge. By heeding the dangers, we further strengthen our community that I feel so privileged to be a part of. Paul has laid the foundation of what does matter in the first 13 chapters of Romans. In Romans 1, he's talked about God's indisputable holiness. In chapter 2, God's indisputable kindness. Chapter 3, God's indisputable grace. And so it goes on for 13 chapters. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that our faith is built on indisputable things. It is a human tendency to jump to what we should or shouldn't be doing. But we needed to understand God first before Paul moves on to what he calls disputable matters, the opposite of indisputable. That is, the things we can and do argue over. So just to sort out the food thing first before we get on to the underlying message, otherwise it will be a distraction. So Paul is referring to strict halakha rules of the synagogue, which forbade eating meat which had been bought in Gentile markets, or even handled by Gentiles, because of the risk of contamination by pagan idols. The practice was to sacrifice a little of the meat on the altar and then sell the rest to the market, which worried the Jews. Paul does have an opinion on these matters, and in 14 verse 20 we heard him affirm, "All food is clean." He said in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 4, "So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but our one." So it doesn't matter. So what is his point? Firstly, if we are going to be a united community, inclusive of everyone, we should not make others feel uncomfortable by effectively and metaphorically serving up a steak to a vegetarian. For others, other ways in which we can trample on people's beliefs. And then Paul goes further when he says, for the sake of the unity, it is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. And I think in this he means a distraction or a worry that takes them away from God. Not only don't serve it up to them, but avoid eating it yourself for the sake of helping your newcomer build the relationship with God and with the rest of the community. He's convinced, not because of his own opinion or reasoning, but is persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is convinced from divine revelation and the scriptures. The Jews believed they are serving God God's word is the basis of their actions. It is hard to fault someone for seeking to live by faith in God's word. So Paul is saying, don't upset each other unnecessarily. Verse 15 says, if your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Let's understand them if they, the Jews or newcomers, are in their early days of understanding the gospel message and having to break with old habits. Let's be sympathetic to that while they are gaining understanding. Sure, the person who is more mature in their faith is right in his being able to eat meat. But as D.L. Moody says, the great tragedy in life is not failing, but winning at the things that really don't matter. Why? Because it's at someone else's expense, someone else's loss. We can be so stubborn and prideful that we don't care that our brother or sister is hurt. It is the responsibility of the mature in the faith to ensure unity and reduce the stumbling blocks, the hindrances to the work of God. Now, avoiding giving offence does not mean compromising the gospel or allowing the PC brigade to rule. We are just asking, what really matters to the building up of the kingdom? Right, I'm now going to switch into my life coach mode. As old as this stuff is, it was basically what we covered in my life coaching postgrad. Verses 13 to 15 have imagery supporting a walk in love. It was common for Jews to refer to life as a walk. So listening to others and using their language to frame issues is a great start. We don't really know what makes the other person have hang-ups or chips on their shoulder. We don't know how their upbringing shaped their belief system. We don't know the whole of each other's lives like God does. So who are we to judge? Also, let's not lead each other into temptation on food, drink, or anything else. Let's not cause each other to stumble on our walk. We don't know about predisposition to addiction or whether the person is trying to take baby steps to a better life. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Paul calls out the mature in faith for being unloving. Paul says firmly, you are no longer acting in love. Love prefers the other person's feelings. Love denies self and picks up the cross and follows Christ. Verse 20 says, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food or differences on whether it's okay to have a glass of wine or raise our hands in worship. Sure, you may be on the right side of the issue theologically, however, the pushing of our viewpoint upon the other person is wrong. A good thing becomes spoken of as evil when pride, selfishness, self-righteousness, anger or malice rear their ugly head. God is busy building his kingdom of mercy, forgiveness and love, and sometimes we get sidetracked because we want to prove we are right or think we have a better way. John Gotland of the sadly named Fight Lab says the number one predictor of relationships breaking up is contempt. Contempt is sulfuric acid to love. We may live in a world that is divided, but don't let us ever divide within this holy parish. Proverbs 17:14 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. The whole dam and the force of the flow behind that can wipe the people out. Romans isn't saying that nothing matters, but today there are disagreements over traditions, worship music, times to start the service, and many other insignificant issues. Jews each person he encountered in a personal way, depending on their needs. In sharing the gospel, we tailor our message depending on the audience, but without compromising the gospel. Peter preached a sermon on the day of Pentecost full of scriptural references which only Jews would have understood. On the other hand, when Paul preached the gospel in Athens, he didn't use scripture at all, but quoted from their own poets to help explain the main points of the gospel. Our walk with the Lord gathers more strength, is more meaningful when it is lived out by coming alongside others in the church. To grow as a Christian, we need to understand what it is like to deny ourselves for another. Let's conduct ourselves with humility, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and compassion. Does all this have relevance for us today? Not a lot, I would say, in this glorious United community. But individually, I think it's valuable to reflect on how we are with other members of our Christian family and with those who are exploring our faith. I felt a little uncomfortable when I read this. I think we can easily become entrenched in our own opinions. We feel our own opinions are indisputable, but others' opinions are disputable. Also, a good question I ask myself regularly is the Holy Spirit gently trying to persuade me to change my mind on an entrenched opinion? And am I open to that? Or am I too full of pride? Looking wider, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food could be taken, and maybe we could fill in the blank. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of preferred tradition, hymns, pews versus chairs, you name it. It is a hallmark of our maturity to be able to discern the issues that matter and the issues that don't. They should never come in the way of our fellowship. We are not a bunch of individuals individually seeking God. We are together. And as verse 19 says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.